Blog Talk Radio.
That silver or gold, the blood that set me free, it came from a life of sin and tragedy. I'm born again, free from sin, because of the blood. He paid the debt. Silver or gold, the blood that set me free, it came from a life of sin and tragedy. Most of all,
I'm
born again,
free from sin,
I am born again,
free from sin,
because
saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight that he saw the best in me. I guess I'm the only one that got this testimony. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
can only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When Trump walks you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
can only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? See, he is mine, and I am. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Help me sing it.
Yeah, girl.
Said that he is mine.
He's mine.
I'm his.
Said
it doesn't matter what I did.
It doesn't matter what I did.
He only sees me for who I am.
He only sees me for who I am.
God, who's the head of my life. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Women's Day Thursday. I'm super excited. We have a woman of God that's coming on, Minister Mitchell. Get your pen and your paper together. The woman of God has a word from the Lord in her belly to give to you. Remember, this is a no-judgment zone. We're not on here to judge you, but we are on here to inspire, encourage, and uplift you. Remember, you're not in this by yourself. The scripture for this morning is Matthew 10 and 26. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. Matthew 10 and 26. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. Father God, we ask you to come on this morning. Have your way. Holy Ghost, go through the airways and touch each and every individual that's listening in. We bind the enemy up right now. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We ask you to have your way this morning and every day in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Definitely want to give a shout out to all the countries that's listening in. Of course, the United States, Canada, Brazil, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe, South Africa, China, Hong Kong, Germany, Bulgaria, Russia, Mexico, the United Kingdom, Paris, Japan, South Korea, India, Ireland, Portugal, Jamaica, the Netherlands, Italy, Romania, Thailand, and Hungary. See, we know you can't openly praise God where you're at, but think about this. We are praying and interceding for you over here. You're not in this fight by yourself. Even though the enemy wants you to feel that you're by yourself, hear me and hear me well. Hear me and hear me well. You're not by yourself. The first thing you need to make sure you have on is your helmet of salvation. Do not take that helmet off. The helmet is to cover your mind, because the first thing the enemy will do is try to attack your mind. And then everything else will follow. But see, when we're stronger together, iron sharpens iron. Hold on, woman of God. Don't fold. It might look a little weary. Yes, you've been going through. Yes, it's like you don't know what to do. But trust me, God is right there with you. Remember, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's just waiting on you to surrender to him. No way you have to talk to him. No specific way. Just like I'm talking to you, you can talk to the Lord, and he hears you. He's always been right next to you. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak if you need prayer or if you want to say something. But remember, when you call in the number, you must press 1. So I know you want to say something. Apostle Kashima, I need prayer. Apostle Kashima, I just want to say something. You have to press 1 when you call in. And absolutely, we will pray for you immediately. Remember, it's not about us. We're about kingdom business, helping building the kingdom. It's not in the four walls. Remember, the word says, go out to the highways and byways and compel them to come, not to stay in the four walls. You're not in this alone. Stand firm and know God is able. We're going to go to a musical break, and we'll be back. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak or if you need prayer. Now, remember, you must press 1 as soon as you call in if you want to say something or need prayer. Excuse me, or if you need prayer. So I know that's what you're pressing for. We're back to a musical break.
Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Yeah, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God. can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Yeah. Sing. Oh,
Amen. The show was trying to play that again, but I love you, Jesus. If you have not tried them, I'm here to tell you, it's never a love like that. Remember, the number is 563-999. Press 1 to speak if you need prayer. The woman of God is getting ready to get on. Get your pen and your paper together. I'm excited for my new sister in Christ to come on and deliver this word from the Lord. Remember, this is a no judgment zone. We are not here to judge you, but we are here to encourage, inspire, and uplift you. Good morning, Minister Mitchell. How are you, woman of God?
Good morning.
You're breaking up a little bit. Good morning.
I'm sorry. Good morning. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Good morning. I'm excited. Look, I'm going on mute. I have my pen and paper together. I'm going to present to some and introduce the other, none other than my new sister, Minister Mitchell. The floor is yours, woman of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And it is good to be on this morning. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for being alive and well this morning. I thank God for all that he's doing, all that he's already done. I am excited about what the Lord is doing in this season. My name is Minister Michelle Mitchell. I am currently in Pensacola, Florida, where I serve in the ministry at Light of the World, AOH in Pensacola. But we are currently, my husband and I are in transition to Jacksonville, Florida, where my husband is the pastor of Vineyard Apostolic Ministries, and we are brand new ministry that God has given us, and we are still in the very, very beginning stages. And so prayerfully soon we'll be in Jacksonville and doing what the Lord has called us to do. Amen. I am a mother of four beautiful children and one awesome grandbaby. And here at Light of the World, I am over our women's ministry. And so I'm just excited. I'm excited to be on today. I'm excited to give what the Lord has to say. I appreciate the opportunity, Apostle, for you having me on. I know that it was the Lord that deemed it so, and I'm grateful. Amen. I'm not going to prolong the time. I'm going to go ahead and get started and go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for this day, Lord. We thank you for waking us up this morning, O God, for keeping us as we went through last night, O God, and as we drove around and handled our business and we laid our heads to rest, O God. Lord, you allowed us to arise this morning, O God. Lord, you gave us in our right minds, O God, that we are still able to think clearly, God, to make the sound decision to still want you, God. For that, I'm grateful and I'm thankful. Lord, I thank you, oh God, for forgiving us of our sins, oh God, every deed that we've done, God, everything that we thought, God. And when we were disobedient, even, God, we thank you for forgiving us, Father. Lord, we ask that you would be in the midst, God, on today, God. Lord, I pray that you would use me as your vessel, oh God, to say whatever it is that you want to say, God, to minister to your people, God, in the name of Jesus, for this specific time, this specific hour. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for Apostle Kashima, God. I thank you for her life, God, Lord, for her legacy, for what you're using her for, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the avenue to go out across the world, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that you would bless all those that are under the sound of my voice, oh God. Lord, I pray that you would open up their hearts, oh God, so that they can receive what it is that you are saying, oh God. Pray that you will break up the fallow ground, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and that the seed would be planted and that we would go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I am grateful. And so this morning, we are talking about women breaking curses. Amen. And as I went before the Lord on what to say this morning, I'm going to do my best to try to stay in the 30 minutes, but I just don't know what the Lord is going to do. So I'm going to go with God. We're talking about a very, very familiar scripture or story in the Bible. We're going to be coming from Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 25 through 34. We're going to talk about this certain woman with the issue of blood and how she broke the curse that she was under. Amen. Amen. And so Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34. A certain woman had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, and nothing was bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard Jesus, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. Amen. Amen. And so, like I said, this is a very popular scripture that has been preached many, many, many times and taught many times. But as I went before the Lord to ask him, what is it that he wanted to say to the people of God, he brought this woman back to my memory. And so as we look in Leviticus chapter 15, the women back in the day when they were in the Bible days, when they were on their cycle, they were considered to be unclean. If she touched anyone or anything, then that too would be deemed unclean. And the person that she touched would have to wash their clothes and bathe, and they would have to, and they would be considered unclean until the evening. The women, for the woman, she would be considered unclean until after 7 days after her menstrual stopped. She had to be blood free for 7 days, and then on the eighth day, she could go to the tabernacle to present her offering to the priest. It was a sin offering and a burnt offering. Through this process, the priest would then purify her and before the Lord for her uncleanness. So can you imagine, as a woman that had a cycle, because, you know, there are some that didn't, but most of us, most women back in that day had cycles, but they didn't have birth control like we have now that would help regulate their cycles or, you know, keep them on a set schedule. At least for 15 days, if a woman had a cycle for 7 days, she had to be unavailable. Typically, there's only 30 to 31 days in a month. So for 15 to 16 days, she had to make provisions for the other 15 days that she would be out of commission. She had to do double the duty for those 15 days that she was able to work and take care of her husband and take care of her kids. It wasn't like, you know, how it is now where she could still go and wash clothes and prepare food and love up on her husband, hug up on him. They wanted to lay down in bed and she just wanted to be held, or if her child fell and scraped their knee, that she could just come and hold them. No, she had to stay away all that time until she stopped bleeding. I can't imagine what the anguish going through those 15 to 16 days that you could do something. You having to do, that's why I can understand why in the scripture it says women, we had to be at the house. Because for 15 to 16 days, you was doing double duty. It seemed like it was better to be pregnant during that time than to not to be pregnant. Because at least you knew for at least 9 months, you could still be intimate with your husband. You could still spend time with your family and your friends. You could get things done around the house and whatever else without the thought of bleeding. And God forbid if you had an irregular cycle where it wasn't just 7 days, or it would come on for 7 days and then you would have a day break or a 2 day break and then it came back on. It was almost like torture. It's like walking around on eggshells. this was a type of bondage to have to be not know when or how or if your cycle was going to come on. And then if it did come on, Lord, I got to wait another 7 days. And then on the eighth day, I can go to the temple. Imagine not being able to have your sins atoned for 15 days if your cycle was 7 days long. We look at, when we look at the certain woman here in Mark, she doesn't have a name, but can you imagine her life? This woman was not just the 7 days. This was 12 years. When we look at this woman, she, it says here in Mark that she went from doctor to doctor and that she suffered from them. Meaning she probably went to the doctor and they tried a procedure and it didn't work. And so imagine she went and they did something, they did a procedure, and okay, for 4 days she stopped bleeding. And then on the fifth day she started back. Now she got to start all her count all back over again. Many times she went thinking that, okay, so this time is going to be the time it's going to happen, and it didn't happen. Or the next time this is going to happen. I can imagine the mental anguish of doing that. And then not only going to see them, but all of her money, all of her resources, she used for these doctors to help get her better, but it never did work. 12 years. That had to be a mental torment. I can imagine her thinking and the disappointment that she felt, the depression that had to come upon her, the mental anguish of not being able to go out into the marketplace to simply just buy you something to eat. It's so different than how it is now when we can just go and do whatever we want to do. We can go to the store. We can go to the bank. We can go lay down and watch TV or what. This woman couldn't do any of that. 12 years, sin was still on her because she could not go have her sins atoned because she was deemed unclean. I remember before I got saved and delivered, I remember the heaviness that I felt. And I remember there seemed to be no end in sight for me. I remember I went from man to man to try to help relieve my pain. I would get up, I would go get into bed thinking that, oh, this is going to be better. He's going to make it better. And then getting up feeling worse than I did when I got into bed. I remember when I was doing everything that I knew to please my husband and it still wasn't enough to please me. I remember when I tried to take my life because the cares of this world was too much for me to bear. And ending all was the best option for me, or at least it seemed to be. I also, too, was like this woman with the issue of blood, going from place to place to get an answer for my issue. But it seemed like there was nothing that would make it better. In my family, all the women had some type of female issue, whether it was endometriosis or we were dealing with cervical cancer cells or horrible periods or something. Everybody, all the females in my family had this issue. And it caused us to have the worst periods ever. I had to have a hysterectomy. At 29 years old, a mother of 3 kids, I had been healed of lupus, but the enemy was still attacking my body. I had severe stomach pains, and I would bleed for days and days and days. And my stomach would swell so big to where it would look like I was 7 to 8 months pregnant. I went from one specialist to the next specialist. They ran tests. They did blood work. I had so many exploratory surgeries. I had so much that I was trying to figure out. And it was like nobody could understand what was going on. Nobody could see. There was no cancer. Lupus was gone. There was not even an active bleed, but my uterus was still the size of a basketball, and I wasn't even pregnant. They didn't see any fibroids or cysts. At that point, they started to say I was a little crazy, and maybe I need to be on some type of medicine because, you know, our bodies can respond to our mental issues, and we can start producing symptoms. And so I was talking to my mom, and I was crying out, and I just don't know what to do. And my mother told me to go to her doctor. She said, come see my doctor because he's the one who did my hysterectomy. He knows our family history, and he had seen my youngest sister who had been dealing with the worst endometriosis he had ever seen in his 20 years. And so he was my last resort. I wasn't saved for real. I had a form of godliness, but I felt like I was hopeless. And so I went to the doctor, and at my very first visit, he said, oh, I know what's wrong with you. He said, you do have endometriosis, but it's not the same type of endometriosis that your mother had or that others have had or your sister had. He said, it's called adenomyosis. And instead of it being in my actual inside of the uterus, it was inside of the muscle walls of my uterus. And they had to perform a hysterectomy in the form of a C-section and cut me from hip to hip because my uterus was so large that they couldn't get it out any other way. And I was relieved to know that finally all of this pain was gone and that I was like, okay, now I'm going to have this new lease on life and depression was going to leave and I was going to have my joy back and my peace back and that this heaviness that I felt in life was going to be gone. And I thought it was all due to this blood issue, this stomach issue. Even after all of that, I was still bound. I was bound to that curse because then I ended up having more issues because I was still in sin. And the issues that I had came from me being in sin. And I was lost, and I didn't know that there was a way out. I'm like, okay, God, at this point, I'm starting to understand that there had to be a God somewhere because he brought me out of this, and I met my now pastor, and she began to minister to me about the things of my life that I was doing and that there was a way out. And so, like her, I made up in my mind that it was time for me to be free. Hearing all that God had done for others, I said, okay, Lord, this now is my turn. Just like this woman here, she made up in her mind that day, that curse was going to be broken, that it could no longer keep her from her destiny. She had heard that Jesus had done all these different miracles, all this other stuff, and she decided, hey, this is my day. She decided for herself, I could just touch his clothes. I ain't got to be all up on him. I ain't got to see his face. He ain't got to say nothing to me. If I could just touch his garment, then I'll be free. I'll be free to go see my mother. I'll be free to go see my children and hug up on my husband and love up on my friends. I'll be able to go to the market for myself and not have to put others in jeopardy because they can't touch anything. I'll be able to be from under this bondage. We have to be the same way. We have to be like this woman and make up in our minds, it don't matter how long I've been in this situation, I've got to seek help to get out and stay from under this curse. You have to decide that despite what people may say, what they may deem as unconventional, because she wasn't supposed to be out. She wasn't supposed to be in the courtyard. She wasn't supposed to be out and about amongst the people because whoever she touched was deemed unclean. But she said, I'm not going to let what people say. I'm not going to let what people think. I'm not going to even let myself stay in this situation. This curse that for whatever reason she got this curse or had this curse, whether it was something that she did and sin came upon her or whether it was something that, you know, she was born with, however this blood issue came about, it was considered sin then. And she needed it to be done with because she couldn't go to the temple to have her sins atoned. But she knew that this man, if I could just take it to the master, that in one touch, he can dry it up. We got to be the same way. We got to be persistent. We got to find ways to get to God so that these curses can be broken. That which was in my family and all the people that dealt with that in my family, once I was healed and then I found Jesus Christ and I decided that I was going to give my life to him, I said, this will not go to my children, my daughter, my son's daughters. This is not going to happen. I decided that curse that I dealt with was going to be broken, that I was not no longer going to allow my sin to stay on me. I decided at that point that I'm going to give everything that I got to the Lord to find out how I can be free from this. And once I made that decision, once I truly gave myself to God, and I decided that I'm going to let go of all I thought, all I knew to do, all I had heard other people doing. And, you know, people were telling me, try this and try that and do this and do that. But once I tried Jesus, that curse, my daughter is now 16 years old. And I can honestly say she don't have periods like we did. The long, drawn-out periods that come on over and over and over again. She don't have the issues that we have. Or had, rather. I told God
God, if you would just, if I would serve you, please destroy this curse. You died, you shed your blood, and you said everything that comes after this, that came before this, was done away with. And if that's the case, then I have to believe you. I have to trust you. If this woman here can come to you and she could just merely touch your hem and you did it for her, and in your words you said you have no respect of person, then I got to believe that it's for me too. Some of us aren't dealing with a necessarily blood issue. We're dealing with a sin issue. What sin have you found yourself in? What sin have you found yourself caught up in? Or some of us are dealing with mental issues where, you know, I can imagine me having had the hysterectomy, and then I had to have several surgeries after that, so I don't have anything. I don't have fallopian tubes. I don't have ovaries. Then it came on with the hormonal issues. Being a woman and being hormonal can cause you to feel like you're psychotic. It can cause you to have some psychosis and some issues. And a lot of times being saved, I'm not trying to be funny, but being saved and being black in the black church, they'll tell you, oh, you don't need to go to the mental hospital. You just need to fast and pray. They'll tell you, oh, you don't need to seek counseling. Just fast and pray. Seek God. Seek God. He'll heal you. Yes, he will. But he also gave people businesses and gave them insight to the mental capacity of people. He also, just like we go to the doctor for diabetes, just like we go to the doctor for if we have heart issues, I'm not going to just say, oh, you know, have a heart attack and I'm only just going to believe God. No, I'm going to believe God while I'm going to the hospital. And I'm going to tell God, Lord, touch the surgeon's heart, touch the doctor's heart. Tell them what medicine I should take, God. And if I shouldn't take it, then God, give me something else. Lord, and if it's your divine will to just heal me instantly, then so be it. But, Lord, you also put medicine on this earth so that we can be healed. You also put people on this earth so that they can help us out. Be unconventional. If that means that you got to seek out whomever to help you, don't get caught up in what others have to say. Please, people of God, don't get caught up in how others think about what you're doing. As long as it does not go against the word of God, find a way to God. Find a way to seek him out. Find a way to find him in that. When I started going to counseling, I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I need help. I'm praying, I'm fasting, and it seemed like my mental capacity still was not functioning properly. I was always sad. I was always angry. And I know I had been delivered. I had been delivered from a lot of stuff. But I knew that there was something else. And I just, no matter how much I fasted and prayed, I couldn't figure out what it was. And so I sought God for a counselor. And I said, God, tell me somebody. Show me somebody. And I didn't want to go through the internet and just pick anybody. And so he directed me to the person who was able to help me, get me over that hump, to help put me in the word, gave me scriptures, told me about Jesus, and use this when you read this scripture, also do this as well. And do take this medicine. This is not a long-term thing, but this is going to help get your hormones back to balance. And once your hormones are back to balance, it'll open up your cognitive thinking. It'll help you get beyond where you are. Don't be so caught up, be so heavenly good that you don't find earthly resolve when God has given it to us here. He's made a way of escape. We don't have to stay in our situations. You don't have to stay bound to that man because you think you've been praying and asking God, Lord, how can I get out? How can I get out? But you never went to the police to tell them that he's beating you. Or you never went to a friend to say, help me get out of this. There are ways out. We don't have to stay in, you know, I thank God for COVID when it happened because in that it made the people more creative on ways to find help. Now we can get on the internet and have a Zoom call. Now you can do telemedicine when you call in and they can diagnose you over the phone. Now they got apps on your phone. There are so many ways, and sometimes it has to be unconventional. If you're afraid of going out and seeking help as far as being in the presence of somebody because you're afraid of what, there are other ways to seek help, but don't get caught up and be stuck in what we see and how people are going to view it, because people are going to have an opinion one way or the other. If you go out and seek help, they're going to have an opinion. If you stay home and you don't get help, they'll have an opinion. An opinion is just like a mouth. Everybody got one. And it doesn't matter to me. Just like it didn't matter to this woman. It didn't matter what people had to say. She said, I'm going to be unconventional. I'm going out anyway, because what this is on me, the only way I'm going to be able to get out of this is if I go to the man who I know can do it. If I go and I seek help, I get out of my own mind, get out of my own way, get out of my own thought process. We have to stay on our face, stay before God, seek him in every way, in everything that we do. It doesn't matter how many times you've prayed about a situation. It doesn't matter how many times you've sought him about a situation you don't see a resolve. God has given us friends that are godly. Seek godly counsel. I have two friends that I know that's going to tell me the truth about me. They don't care if it hurt my feelings. They don't care if it's going to they don't want to break my spirit, but they'll hurt my feelings in a heartbeat. But my feelings are just they'll come and go. I tell them all the time, please be honest with me. If I'm wrong, tell me that I'm wrong, because I don't want to stay in the situation that I'm in. If you don't know what to do and how to do and you've sought God, then seek him as, Lord, tell me something else. Give me a different perspective. Show me. Show me how. Lord, me and my husband are going through issues, God. How can we get beyond these issues? You know, a lot of times, again, like I said, we don't want to seek out counseling. And I'm saying that because I feel it heavy in my spirit. We don't want to seek out counseling, but there is nothing wrong. And all the time, is it supposed to be your pastor? Because half the time, they're not even qualified as far as mental health issues or marital issues. They have God, yes, and God can give wisdom, but not all the time are they qualified to diagnose stuff. And sometimes it's too familiar. They may know you, and God may deal with them, and because God has dealt with them about an issue that you have, they may not be able to be objective in that. And so seek out somebody that can help you. Seek out unconventional ways. I stress that. What's about to happen, what's going on in this world now, how we see things are happening, and I know that there is worse to come. The way that the world is going down, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And if when we look at it now, people are committing suicide on an alarming rate. We got children committing suicide. We got teenagers committing suicide. We got pastors committing suicide. There are so many people now the enemy has taken hold of because they don't understand that there is a way out. They don't understand that I don't have to stay in this curse. I can find a different way. I can move beyond where I am. They don't get that. The enemy has tricked them. He has told them, no, you got to stay in the house. No, you got to stay in the place. Because if you do, you know, if you go get counseling, they're going to know that you're crazy. They're going to know that you got issues. If you go to your pastor, they may try to tell you that, you know, all you got to do is fast and pray. So ain't no point in even going to your pastor. The enemy will keep you where you are. He does not want you to come out, because he only knows that if you ever get free, then you're going to try to free somebody else. And that's what I am. I'm free. And so because I've been made free, I've been delivered from this curse. I've been delivered from the curse of sin. Now it's up to me to go out and get somebody else and tell you that you ain't got to stay in this situation, that Jesus is the answer, that he will set you free. He will deliver you. He will wash away your sins. I was in sin for 29 years. Imagine the weight of that, just like her with her 12 years. Imagine the weight of the sin I was carrying. Most of us were unsaved longer than we've been saved. And so we're still trying to figure out sanctification. And that's okay, because salvation is immediate. Sanctification takes time sometimes. And it's okay to still be trying to figure it out, but don't be by yourself. When you mess up and you feel like you're condemned because you made a mistake, no, go cry out to somebody. Of course, repent to Jesus, but tell somebody, look, I'm having an issue. I know I'm saved, but it seems like I still keep wanting to watch porn. Help me. Can you give me some pointers? Can you pray with me? Can you fast for me? Sometimes it takes more than just us. Don't get caught up in yourself. Don't allow the enemy to keep you bound. Come out of that house. Come out of that curse. Come from up under the thumb of people and their thoughts. Because if you stay there, then you're going to stay in sin. You're going to stay bound. And it may not be a gross sin. It could be something that is just, you're a liar. And no matter how much you try to tell the truth, the lie just finds your tongue. You may need somebody to link up with you to help you to break the curse of lying. Poverty needs to be broken. Witchcraft needs to be broken. Perversion needs to be broken. And sometimes it's not just by the laying of hands and calling that thing out. Sometimes it takes more than that. Not all the time. Because for me, when I was possessed, when I found out and realized that I was possessed, I sought God for myself. And I fasted and prayed for 7 days. And I repented and I renounced and denounced every demon that I knew was in me. And God delivered me. But then I didn't stop there. I still sought out help. I still sought Jesus because then my house was clean and empty. Then I sought him and needed him to fill me. And once he filled me, I still didn't stop there. I still continued to go to church. I continued to be around godly influence and godly people so that I can learn, so that I can grow, so that I can come out and go and get the next person and the next person and the next person to let them know that, oh, this is not the end for you. So you have anger issues. That's not the end for you. There's a way out. To be delivered, okay, it's not a big deal. Come out. So I want to encourage, employ all those that are dealing with whatever curse or bondage you may find yourself in. Or you may not even realize that you're there because you've been there so long. There's another way out. There are other people that can help you. Ask God to reveal it to you. And when Jesus is passing by, don't stay in the house. Push your way out. Press your way out. If you got to crawl, if you got to ignore people, if you got to let some people go, whatever you got to do to get to Jesus so that he can make you free, then do that. Hallelujah. Pray my strength in the Lord. Thank you, woman of God, for this opportunity. I pray that I said something to bless everybody.
Amen. What would you like to leave for the women that's going through? You shared and told them that they can get out, absolutely. But from experience and from praying and interceding for people, what would you like to leave for them today, for them to stand on and have know that they have somebody that's praying for them as well, even if they don't have a relationship with Christ? Or if they don't know how, what would you tell that woman to have no idea how to go to God or what to say to God? What would you tell her?
The woman that does not know how to go to God or what to say to God when you do find yourself in this situation or, you know, you're just broken and need to help, I would say that first and foremost, in this stage, wherever you are, God for forgiveness. Repent. Repentance means to say, God, I'm sorry, godly sorry. I don't want this no more. And then make up in your mind that this is no longer going to be part of my situation, whatever it is. If it's, like I said, lying, cheating, whatever. And then after you repent and after you have decided that I'm no longer going to be in this place, there are so many people that are available where you are locally. I am one. I will intercede and I will pray. And I will fast for whomever at any time. And I will also give insight. The Lord has gifted me to be able to reach women and people, but mostly women, where they are and give an insight to what you're dealing with and how to overcome that. There is no set way. Outside of the scripture, there is no set way in order for us to, I'm not going to give you some made up stuff on as far as ministering to women. I'll give you what the Lord has to say, but whatever it is, trust me, it's going to come from the book. It'll line up with the word of God. Whoever you seek counsel from, make sure that it does not go against the word of God. Make sure that it does not, don't go and seek counsel from somebody and they're telling you to pick up some crystals and they're telling you to go get a Ouija board or go to a psychiatrist or, no, excuse me, not a psychiatrist, but a psychic. You know, to get insight. Make sure that whatever it is that there is, that God is attached to it. So you don't know how to pray. You don't know what to say to him. You don't know what to say to God. It's simply a conversation. It is simply, Lord, open up my heart. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Lord, I don't want to be the way I have been. I don't want to stay in this place. And I want to know you. I want to know who you are. Show me you. The Lord tells us to prove him. So allow him to prove himself to you. Ask him to. He will. And when he does, then you have faith and you believe in him. Ask him to give you revelation, understanding, and then to give you godly people that help guide you through this walk.
Amen. Amen. Father God, I ask you to give back what your daughter gave out on this morning. Continue to guide her in the right direction. Continue to cover her household, Father God. And we know that she has a job to do for you, and we ask you to connect the dots for her in the direction she will go. We know it's all because of glorify you, Heavenly Father. And we ask you to continue to cover her husband, her children, her grandbaby, Father God. Bless their businesses, Lord. Bless their ministry, Lord, so they can go out and bless other people and tell them who you are and that if God did it for her, he can definitely do it for them, that they're not in this fight by themselves. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the people know how they can reach you, if you have any books, any your businesses. I know the location is not here yet, but when you come back, I'm sure y'all will be in the location. I'm speaking into that.
Amen.
But let the people know how they can reach you and if you are, what kind of business you have, because we're big on supporting one another, because that's what we're supposed to do in the body of Christ. Let me say that. That's what we're supposed to do. But as far as Chief and I, we're big on support. How can they get in contact
with you? Amen. So I can be reached on, I'm on social media. My name is Michelle Mitchell. It's M-I-C-H-E-L-E-A. Last name is Mitchell. Our ministry page is Vineyard Apostolic Ministries. I can be reached through Messenger on either of those platforms. I'm also on Instagram. On Instagram, I'm on Instagram, but I don't even know my handle because I'm not on there often. it's Jesus Jewel. That's my handle on Instagram. It's Jesus Jewel on Instagram. I am also, I do have a business. I make T-shirts. Mostly it's Bible wear is what I call it, where it's scripture or Bible-based. I also do customized T-shirts. If you have a business and you need T-shirts for your business, I do cups, mugs. I do lanyards. I make tablecloths. I also do home decor if you like wreaths or door hangers. God has gifted me to be a very creative person. And with that, I use my hands to do whatever God has me to do. On Facebook and on Instagram, you can find Michelle's Creations. That is my first name with an apostrophe S, Creations. I have a group, a page on Facebook, and I have a page on Instagram, which is also just Michelle's Creations. My website is down right now because we are in the process of moving, but like you said, by the time I come back on, all of that will be back up and running because we will be full steam ahead. I just believe God.
Yes. And I'm touching agreeing with you, and so are the other people.
Amen.
See, we're not about talking about each other, but we are about kingdom business. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's perfect.
Amen.
This is a no judgment zone, but we are here to encourage, to inspire you and uplift you. So don't fold. Keep your armor on, especially your heavenly salvation, because like I always say, that's the first thing the enemy goes for. Keep pushing through. You're not in this by yourself. Thank you so much, woman of God, for coming on. I'm super excited about what the Lord has for you and your husband. It's just the beginning. Get ready. And I can't wait for y'all move and get situated and come back on and share the joy of the Lord in y'all life. I'm super excited. And thank God for the connection, because iron sharpens iron, seriously. You need somebody you can go to and sharpen yourself when you're feeling dull or when you're getting weary. Nobody's perfect. I say this all the time. Bishops, apostles, pastors, ministers, nobody's perfect. Everybody goes through something at one point in time in their life. Everybody. If they stand, they not. You might need to check their resume. You might need to go to God and check their resume because they're not being truthful. But what you can do is trust and believe in God. It's not easy.
Amen.
but it will get better. Thank you again much for coming on. I'm honored for the yes.
And
with no hesitation, you know, the divine connection, because we family now.
Yes. Amen.
So all is well. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. We're going to go to musical break, and the woman will be on a few minutes more. If you guys want to speak or have prayer requests, please press 1 when you dial the number, 563-999-3628. Press 1 if you have a question or if you need prayer.
Bread of life sent down the glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, say it now. Come on.
We're back. And one thing about Chief and I, we see a hand up, we immediately stop and go and answer the call. Good morning, call. Are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I am here. Good morning, sisters.
Good morning.
This is
good
Lisa
morning.
Out of Jacksonville. Excuse me. This is Lisa out of Jacksonville, Florida. I just wanted to say thank you so much for the word. My sister Apostle Kashima, my sister Michelle, God bless both of you, and I pray that the Lord refills you, refresh you, and continue to strengthen you to continue to give the women and the people of God the word of God. I thank you for the word on this morning. Truly, truly, you allowed the Holy Spirit to lead you, my sister, and for both of you. Strong women in God have been through some things, but I thank God for deliverance. I thank God for renewal, for strength, for his power. And everyone that is listening to this broadcast, please share, because that is what we are supposed to do. Two is better than one. When one fall, another is there to pick them up. If one lay down, another is there to keep them warm. So, Lord, I just want to say thank you for that. And thank you for my sisters in Christ. You are not alone, people. And if you do not know the Lord, all you have to do is say, Lord, I want to know
Amen.
You and be serious. Because before the Lord is going to change and heal you physically, he has to heal the soul with forgiveness. So you have to ask for forgiveness and for your sins and mean it. And I just want to say and encourage each of you that are listening, God bless you. He is real. He is on the throne. His blood still has power. There is the name power in the name of Jesus. It is a real thing. This ain't no funky donk, okey doke talk. This is real talk because the struggle is real for everyone. It does not matter what your title is. It does not matter. God is not a prospective person. Every man, woman, and child, and dog, and bird, and fowls in the sea created it all.
Ooh.
So whatever it is it's that you want to ask for trust. And the word for me that I'm going to share with you, whatever it is, women, men, children, daughters, sons, give it to God, trust him with it, and pray through it. In Jesus' name, thank you for the word. I love both of you. God bless.
Love you too.
Amen, amen, amen. I figured somebody was going to come on here and tear us up this morning. I figured it was going to be somebody. But if y'all don't understand, our sister Lisa have a powerful testimony herself. And when she get a chance to come on, hear me and hear me well, it will blow your mind. God is a healer.
Yes.
Trust me. He is a healer and a deliverer. Once you surrender your life to Christ, he will take care of the rest. See, the overcoming scripture that we have on here is Romans 10:9. It states, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's no certain way you have to talk to the Lord. You can talk to him just like I'm talking to you. The scripture says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, let me tell you, you're saved now. Welcome. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. Nowhere from Genesis to Revelation, I say this all the time, it's going to be easy. But it does state having faith size of a mustard seed can move mountains. And it does state where there are two or three, God is in the midst. The storm is just that. It's passing through your life. Don't give up. Let me leave you three keys. Get you a Bible. Find you a Bible. Where this King James NIV, find you a Bible. Two, find your church home. Whether you go online, you go visit, find your church home. You're definitely welcome to join us, Chief Apostle and myself, at the Abba House International at 6705 H Street, Houston, Texas, 77028. And three, make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is walking and preaching the same thing. Now, this is very critical when you surrender your life to Christ. These three things you need, a Bible, a church home, and a man or woman of God that's covering you. Now, they must walk and talk the same thing. Now, you know, we're not going to sugarcoat anything on here. I have to tell you the truth. If your leader is not walking and preaching the same thing, that's not where you need to be. But what you can do is ask God to give you discernment to show you where to go. If you ever want to speak to any speaker that's been on here, text me. Say, Apostle Kashima, I want to talk to the woman of God. 346-419-2529. I will connect you because it's not about me. It's about you getting closer to the Lord. That's all we care about, is you learning to trust in the Lord. You can't continue to walk on Meemaw and Big Mama and Granny prayers. You must establish a relationship with him for yourself, that intimacy with just you and the Lord, and just talk to him. And I guarantee you it'll start getting better one day at a time. If you guys ever want to sow into the broadcast, you can at $WGC2020. $WGC2020. We also go out to feed the homeless, and I have blessed all. If you need to bless all, listen to me. It's not miracle soap, miracle water, miracle cloth. It is free. Text me, Apostle Kashima, I need some of that oil. I'm going through it. It's not the oil, it's your faith. The oil is free. Text me, 346-419-2529. Text me your mailing address. I will mail it to you. If you're in the Houston area, we will meet with you and pray with you. That's what we're here for, to encourage, inspire, and uplift you. It's birthing time. Midwives are in position. We're ready to help you get where you need to be. You might not know. Everybody's not a pastor or an apostle or evangelist. Your smile, your hug, embracing someone could just be what they need. Your smile can light up the room. You're an atmosphere changer. Keep your armor on. Don't take it off. Shine it up. Keep it on and stand on God's word. All of you guys was blessed on today. Again, if you need to reach out, you can at 346-419-2529. Text me. We are here. Men, if you need a man of God to talk to, Chief Apostle is here as well. Text and say, I need to talk to Chief Apostle, and I will connect you with him immediately. It's not about us, and I have to keep saying it. It's all about the kingdom and breaking the curses that's been put up on our life. See, I'm a generation curse breaker in my family. Excuse me. I'm going to talk about Kashima. As she says, you can say saved and sit in the church. I'm the first woman preacher, first woman apostle, first woman book author, first woman business owner. That speaks a lot for me. See, I'm breaking generation curses for my children and their grandchildren and their seed and their seed. It's time to stand up and get in position, women of God. Don't worry about what they say. Focus on what the Lord say. And here you'll see much clearer. You have a blessed, phenomenal day. Know that we love you. Again, you can reach us at 346-419-2529 if you need prayer or you want some blessed oil. Core Gift of Gifts is still in effect. If you want to order, text me. I will send you the link. We're about iron sharpens iron and helping one another. The Bible says love one another. When was the last time you loved and checked on somebody just because they didn't want anything in return? Yeah. Even the strong get weary. Check on your strong friends. You guys have a blessed day. Love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it.
If you know there's power in the name of Jesus, somebody shout that name, Jesus. Shout the name, Jesus. Shout the name, Jesus. Come on, scream his name into the nation. Respond, somebody. Shout the name, Jesus. Oh, oh, oh. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Let's say it together. There is power.
There is power.
Come on. We know where the power is. Shout, there is power.
There is power.
Break every chain, break every... Somebody put your hands in the air right here, let's do it together.
There's an army rising.